text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, and Marion enjoyed Sam Smith's telling of that story, and she always thought that Albert was on that flight. No, he flew over on a separate plane, then went out into the tarmac, got on the plane before the passengers disembarked and walked down with them. So I suppose that was the confusion there. Now, big news at the weekend was, of course, thousands of people all over the country and in Mayo took to mountains and hills, and particularly Crowpatrick, to do fundraising, all part of Climb with Charlie. Charlie Bird did amazing work and raised over 2 million for two charities, Pieta House and Motor Neuron Association of Ireland. There are over 400 people in Ireland with motor neuron disease. And to tell us more about it and her personal experience of it, I'm joined by Fiona Vic Gonal. Is it Donal or Gonal?
Gonal.
Gonal,
yeah.
Yes, because there's a shave,
yes,
isn't there? Yes,
it.
Yeah. Welcome to the Studio 6, Fiona. And it's F-I-F-O-N-A.
That's it, yeah.
So, Fiona, just get the pronunciations out of the way.
There's
first.
Very few of us, but.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in. And now, just on the motor neuron disease, and we'll find out about you in a moment, but just to put people in the picture, when were you diagnosed?
2015.
Right, so 7 years on now or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And so you were in your 50s at the time.
Yeah.
Very active, healthy,
yes,
all that sort
working.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, well, the background to that was, just weight loss really was the main symptom. And I'd lost like a fair bit of weight. So that's what started off the kind of visits to doctors and whatever, trying to figure out what was wrong, what was the cause. And I went to a few different doctors, couldn't find anything, checked everything. No problem, you're fine, off you go. Then about a year after that, I got pneumonia out of the blue. And again, the GP was concerned. So he sent me off again, more tests, nothing showed up. That doctor then referred me on to a neurologist. So that was really what happened then was he had done again a few tests, nothing showed up, and I thought everything was fine. I honestly was not in the least bit worried. I thought, well, that's grand.
But why a neurologist for weight loss?
Yes, at that stage, the doctor I was with over the pneumonia, he had noticed, I suppose, the muscles around my chest were not worked, that he felt, you know, there was respiratory problems, and also my arms, that there was a weakness more than there should be. So he sent me to a neurologist. So he actually was the one who really made the connection. So I went to the neurologist, and basically what happened then was we had one last test that he had to give me the result of, and he said, come to his rooms. So it was 8 o'clock appointment or something one morning, and Fiacra and I were both on our Halloween break, it was, from school. So we said, great, we'll head into town, go to the doctor first, head into town, we'll have a lovely day, we'll have lunch. So off we went into the doctor, and he chatted for a few minutes and said, no, that final test, no, you were negative again. And I said, okay, great. And then he said something like, so that leads me to believe that you have motor neuron disease. And it was the first mention or thought that I had of that disease.
So there's no lead in?
Nobody, no.
No suspicion that
I might
have
had
been.
Mentioned
no.
it. Now, maybe most people might have Googled things, but I hadn't. I wouldn't be a Googler. So, yeah, it was a shock, to put it mildly. So, I remember just getting into the car. I don't think I even spoke to the doctor. I just said, thanks, doctor, and out the door and headed back home, obviously. That was the end of the nice day in town.
Yeah.
And I was just completely numb. I didn't really know what. I just couldn't figure it out at all. Couldn't take it in. So, and obviously Fiacra as well. We were both just shocked. And I remember the first thing that really hit me strongly was that I didn't want the kids to know. Now, our children at that stage, they were, 17 up. So, you know, they weren't children. But I just couldn't bear the thought of them knowing.
Why so, Fiona?
Yeah, I think it's, I suppose all parents, you have an instinct to protect your children, keep them from unhappiness or problems. And if there are any problems, you want to be the one to clear them up. So that was very strong with me. I just felt, oh no, I don't want them to know. So I kept saying to Fiacre, look, it's okay, but do not tell the kids. That's like, they can't know. So he just kept kind of agreeing with me quietly. But the next thing about, I'd say it was only about 3 days later, we were all in the kitchen, which was unusual enough, everybody together, the six of us. And the next thing I heard Fiacre saying, remember we were at the doctor? Well, the doctor, I couldn't believe it. So basically he broke the news. But he did do it in a very, very diplomatic way, and he did it very well, I have to say. So
how do you tell your children that their mother has MND in a diplomatic way?
He just said something like, look, you know, she's well, she's working, which I was, she's fit, she's healthy, you know, this, okay, we have this diagnosis, we'll deal with it. And life goes on and, you know, and
you're a school teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Primary school teacher. Yeah.
So look, once they knew, actually, that was the best thing. I mean, would have been impossible to keep it from them anyway. But once they knew, I actually, you know, that dread was gone. You know, the dread of them finding out was then gone. So I actually felt a bit better.
When did you decide you were going to ask questions? Because, you know, you left the doctor's surgery. You don't Google.
Yes. I never really do ask questions, Ray, to be honest, no. No, not in very few. I suppose I trust, you know, I'm in under Orla Hardiman's care now, the clinic up in Beaumont. And I suppose I just trust them and what they advise. And, you know, if a difficulty comes up, I'll ask about that. But I don't really go into the future too much, or, you know, asking questions or specifics. So.
And would you avoid then, you know, say if Charlie Bird was on the Late Late Show or whatever, would you avoid that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
For a long time, I would definitely have turned off the radio. So I hope your listeners haven't turned off. I would definitely have avoided anything. Now, in the last year or two, sometimes I would. Most of the time now I will.
What has changed with you?
You just get to accept things a bit more, and I realise, you know, I mean, maybe I was more fearful. You know, the first few years now, I'm probably a bit more accepting, and I suppose I know more about it. So, yeah, I'm just more willing to listen to things. And
so what do you know about it now? Because everybody's MND is different.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Can be very different for different people. And the rate, the progression can be very different. So I suppose that I've looked into the research, and I find that very interesting, because actually at the moment it's a very hopeful and a very optimistic time for.
So you're looking
research.
Into the future, really?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I suppose I looked at that's the hope, that's where the hope lies.
Mm.
And when I looked into it, we discovered that there's a new project in the last few years has been set up, and it's a Europe-wide project involving, I think it's 16 European countries, and they have all agreed to cooperate, to share their information, to share data, and all to work together, basically, on setting up clinical trials. And they're hoping to, well, their aim is that every suitable candidate will be put on a clinical trial, and that they'll come up with treatments and therefore obviously a cure in the future.
So everybody will be put on a different.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to be using, what they're doing is using drugs that are already approved.
For other conditions.
Yeah. And this, I've seen this, is the same thing happening with a lot of conditions now, that they found that, you know, they can use drugs that have been found to be successful for one condition, that it's also useful for others.
It's a sort of a scattergun approach, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think though they are quite specific about who they will target with each
one. Yes, yeah. Yes. So they're sort of suited for each person. Yeah.
So like one quote that I love from Orla Hardiman is, that MND is not untreatable, it's just underfunded.
Mm.
So that's why we kind of felt, yeah, the research is really interesting. It's very hopeful. It's very optimistic at the moment. So that's really why we wanted to then get involved.
Talk about yourself then, just for a moment then. So yeah. you're a wheelchair user.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Yeah, good question. Well, when I was diagnosed, yeah, I would have been walking, working. I mean, very few outward symptoms. So gradually, I suppose, would have been maybe about 3 years ago, I suppose. Gradually, you get weaker. My legs weren't too good. I wouldn't have been great at going for any distance walking. So then that was kind of a big wrench then to sort of have to accept the wheelchair. And again, I suppose Fiacra was the one who encouraged me into that.
We and childhood sort of, sweethearts, yourself
yeah,
and Fiacra.
Yeah.
Right. What are we talking? Teenagers? Or?
Yeah, we were, I was 16, he was 15.
Right.
And members of Ogres,
hi.
Which you mentioned there.
Yeah, before we were done.
Yeah, that would have been how we met, really, right. Through Ogres and school. And both just fell madly for each other, and that was it. We kind of we've been together ever since. So
you went to strain on the people around you. Diagnosis, is it a strain?
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but people are actually great at not showing that.
Yeah.
You know, now it's obviously a huge strain on Fiacra, obviously, because he's the one that looks after me all the time. And now he'd say it isn't a strain, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of responsibility.
Mm.
I'd have to say he's great at kind of an emotional support as well as everything else. So,
because you strike me as a very positive person.
Yeah, he is.
But you're a very positive person, are you?
I'm an optimistic person, yeah. And yeah, well, he keeps me positive and my family keep me positive. And, you know, the kids, we've a lively household. As I said, we've four children. Two living at home, Roisin and our youngest, our son, Aina. And then Roisin has a little boy who's three. So they live with us, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because he just...
He doesn't know about MND.
No.
No. Which is
not
which
yet.
Is wonderful, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So he keeps us smiling and laughing all the time. And then my two other daughters, Etna and Cliona, they're living in Dublin, so they're around a lot as well.
Mm.
And that keeps me going.
When you're having a bad day, where do you go? Where in your head?
When I'm having a bad day, what I find helps is sort of thinking that's kind of cliche, one day at a time, but not in the way of, it sounds a little bit like, you know, one day at a time, if I can get through it. I don't mean it that way. What I mean is if I think of just this day and I think, you know, oh, sun is shining out there, it's a beautiful day, shall we go for a walk? Then, you know, oh, maybe so-and-so Mary or somebody is calling around. We'll have a coffee later on. We'll have a laugh. Maybe tonight there's a good film on the telly, you know. And if I just think of today, I mean, every day is usually a good day. So that calms me.
Yeah.
And that brings me back to, you know, just today and stop worrying about maybe tomorrow or next week or next month, whatever. Mm. So that's what I do.
And you said that Orla Hardiman, she's sort of head of motor neuron disease in this country, and she has told you we need more money to fund research. And you've put together a great project are you up to 83,000 on this one?
We are. The main campaign that we have is called TRICALS, which is the name of the European project. TRICALS Cead Míle Fáilte. That's what we called it. And the basic idea was that it came from my sister-in-law, Maeve, who ran a golf classic and raised a few thousand. And we were delighted, said, that's lovely. And then Fiacra had the brainwave that what if a whole pile of our family and friends ran something similar and raised $1,000 or $2,000. Sure, that'd all add up. So that's what we did. We wrote a letter to all our Christmas card list, basically, right. 50 people roughly. And we said, please join us in this campaign. We're looking for 100 people to raise €1,000 each, whatever way, coffee morning, pajama day in school, whatever. And it was an absolutely fabulous response.
Brilliant.
And our timing was rotten. It was February 2020. But even so, we have raised over 83,000 so far.
Well done.
In that fashion. So yeah, it's been brilliant.
And you inherited a 5K yes. run out in St. Anne's in Raheny, yeah. which happens on Good Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A wonderful organised lady called Olivia Sexton. She set up the Good Run and ran it for 5 years and then wasn't in a position to keep going. So we decided to take it on. When I say we, basically it was Fiacra. So, and it's been virtual for the past 2 years, but very successful. And this year we're back in St. Anne's. So it's a lovely, fun family event. Good Friday morning, yeah. 11 o'clock.
Great.
There'll be runners, there'll be walkers, there'll be buggies. I'll be in my wheelchair. There's loads of space. So we're hoping for a great
turnout.
It's
a lovely place for a run, actually. We did one of our 5Ks out there.
It's lovely, yeah.
It's lovely. So it's 11 o'clock, Good yeah. Friday morning, which is what?
The 15th of April.
15th of April, yeah. Friday week.
And
Friday week.
Look up thegoodrun5k.com.
Yeah.
And all the info is there.
And all the proceeds are going to research into motor neuron disease.
And half, research motor neuron and the IMNDA.
Okay.
That's halved.
Yes.
All our other campaign is purely research, but
right.
this is halved.
It's brilliant because Charlie did what he did over the weekend and then the DOI SOS was Johnny Aylward down at Kilkenny.
Yeah.
He is MND. And we speak to Roy Taylor, who represented Ireland in Eurovision. So the word is out there. So people are talking about it. And hopefully that will encourage people to put their hands in the pockets, which they have. Just to do it more. Fiona, you're, like, I don't use this word lightly, but you are an inspiration because your positivity, I don't mean to be condescending, you're nodding your head there like you are. I know the look in your face. Yeah. I know the look in your face. So I apologize.
Yeah.
James in Offaly says, God bless that brave and positive person and may she be healed some way, somehow soon. That's James in Offaly there. So
Thank you.
A nice message there. Fiona, Gormagut.
Falcha.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.